First Corinthians 6:19 through 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As the Lord dealt with me this message and all, he brought this scripture to me about how that we are not our own and that we're bought with a price. Some messages are harder to preach than other messages. This is one of those harder ones. So we need your prayers. I appreciate that the Lord already sent out special prayer for me this morning. I feel like that I really need it. I want to be very plain and I want to be very straightforward in what I am bringing forth and with the scriptures in the word. And I want to talk this morning about I told you a few weeks ago that there were some doctrines that were out in the world, and we have doctrines, they have doctrines, and sometimes they don't match. And that I wanted to especially deal with some of the doctrines in the Church of God that maybe other places do not look at or take into consideration. And so this is another one of these doctrines. We want to talk to you this morning about modesty in dress. There are many, many churches out there that do not believe, like we talked about before, that you can live above sin. They don't believe that they have to change very much in order to be a Christian. They believe that they can go on doing whatever they want, but this scripture here says that we're bought with a price and we're not our own anymore. And so we have to glorify God in our body and our spirit. Now, many people say, well, of course we have to change in our spirit and everything, but very few people feel like they have to change anything about the outside of their body. They feel like they can go on having their own likes, their own dislikes. They can have everything the way that they want it, but it's not true. God owns us now, and we are to be a representative of Him. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we are to represent Christ. We are saying, as we go out and about and among people, we are saying, look at me, observe me, hear what I say, see how I act, because this is Jesus. Now, this is very, very serious. And many people feel like that it's not necessary that we do these things, but it is. We are representing Christ in this earth. They need to be able to see something different in us. They need to be able to understand what they need to do in order to be saved and to be able to live for the Lord. And we have to give them a clear message, a very, very clear message. So, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we went over Genesis, where Adam and Eve fell. And in Genesis 3:7 through 11, it says, and the eyes of them both were opened. They had taken of the tree. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now God knew where they were. God knew what they had done. But he was coming to commune with them the way that he had done every day since they had been in the garden. But they had changed. They had changed. And he said, Adam said, and I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Who told you that? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Because see, sin brings about a shame of nakedness. That's what happens. And yet, in the garden, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. All of a sudden, they were very aware that they needed to cover up. And so they sewed fig leaves together and they made aprons, which were just covering maybe vital parts of the body. But in the 21st verse, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." He clothed them, coats of skins. Now we know an apron is something that's very small, maybe not very, doesn't cover very much. But a coat, we know what a coat is. We know what it means to be clothed with a coat. Many times in the winter times, we go out and we're in rain or anything. We like to have coats that are long enough to cover our clothes, to be long enough to where we don't get wet. And we know that God intended that man would be clothed after sin entered the world, not before. But I want you to take notice. There is a scripture in the New Testament that says, "If a man looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And so many times we talk about how that we should dress in such a way that we do not present ourselves to the opposite sex in any kind of a suggestive way. We understand these things. But I want you to take notice that Adam and Eve were the only man and woman on the planet. They were the only ones. And yet they were feeling shame and they were noticing nakedness because, see, sin enters in and it causes things to happen inside of our souls and inside of our what we think, our minds, to where before something could have been very innocent, they were naked before each other, very innocent, but all of a sudden something has happened. All of a sudden their minds are changed and they're thinking differently. And even they knew that they need to cover up some kind of way. And then God showed them, no, what you think is good covering isn't good covering. I'm going to give you the kind of covering that's going to protect you. Because there were going to be other people on the earth. There were going to be sons and daughters and it was going to grow. And all of us came from Adam and Eve. And so it was going to grow. And it was going to get to the place to where there were many to look upon, and God wanted them to know, now that you're in sin, you have to stay covered. You have to stay covered all the time. It's not good for you. It's not good for others. You're going to have to stay covered. So time went on. Time went on. And I want to go to a scripture in Isaiah, the 3:16-24. So lots of time has gone on. Lots of people are on the earth now. Lots of people have divided up into all kinds of families and children and all. And everything has advanced, but it's all advanced under sin. There wasn't holiness. It's just all advanced under sin. And this is what Isaiah says in there in the 16th verse. It says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks, wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. They would wear ornaments around their ankles that had little bells, and they would tinkle as they went." It was to draw attention. Mincing, in other words, walking a certain way, looking a certain way. And we know what that is. We know that there is a way to walk that does not draw attention. And we know that things can be exaggerated and we can draw a lot of attention. So this is what they were doing. It says, "Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts." Now I want you to realize too, it says, in the first verse, it said that the daughters of Zion were haughty. Not a good thing. All of us realize that we're not supposed to be haughty. We're supposed to be humble. But it says, "In that day, the Lord," in that day, we'll go to 17 first. "Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts." 18, "In that day." We're talking about a lot of times in the Bible when it says "in that day," it's talking about the gospel day. It's talking about the day to come, the day when things are going to be different, the day when Jesus comes, the day when things are going to change and we're going to be able to change our insides as well as our outsides. He says, in that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, their cauls, their round tires like the moon, their chains and bracelets and mufflers, the bonnets, the ornaments of the legs, the headbands, the tablets, the earrings, the rings, the nose jewels, changeable suits of apparel, the mantles, the wimples, the crisping pins, the glasses, the fine linen and hoods and veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink, instead of a girdle, a rent, instead of well-set head, hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girdle of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. He says, because they're haughty. By this time, men had started proving that sin was reigning in their hearts and in their minds. And the women had put on things to draw attention. They were trying to get attention and keep attention. And they, all these things they had put on, they started off with aprons. You remember? They thought that was sufficient to cover their nakedness. God made them a coat. He said, this is what's sufficient. And they decided that they would decorate God's creation. God is very pleased with the way he created every one of us. Do you believe that? I believe that God is pleased. When he looked at you and made your skin a certain color, when he made our hair certain colors, when he made our body certain shapes. I mean, we all have genetics that do all these things. And when he did that, he wanted us to look different, to be different from one another. And yet we were to realize that our body is not our own and that it is God's. But people have decorated their bodies. And I remember, well, I mean, we change our facial features. And it's gotten more and more. When I first got saved and I heard a message and heard the minister bring forth as far as changing the looks on your face and putting on and making your lips red when they really weren't red and making this happen and making your eyelashes darker and all these things. In other words, putting on makeup. When I first heard those things, oh, my heart rebelled. My heart rebelled. I said, ooh, I don't want to do that. And I started spouting off to myself. Well, the Lord may require that of some people, but he won't require that of me. Not everybody is all wrapped up in their looks. And not everybody is, you know, I don't go very far. I only have a little of this. I only have a little of that. See, our deprived nature, our nature does not want to submit to the holiness of God. But God created us how he wanted us, how he wanted us to look. He helped us and blessed us and made us all different and interesting. And he doesn't want us. And it's gotten to the place now to where people, there's so much, what have they done now? They've gone to plastic surgery and tattooing on eyebrows and eyeliner and all manner of things. God is not pleased with us trying to improve upon his creation. He made us like he wanted us. He is not pleased with us doing more to ourselves and trying to say, God, what we're saying is, God, you didn't do a good enough job. You didn't make me like I wanted to be, so I'm going to change it. No, we're bought with a price. So eventually, I realized I could not keep all of those things. And eventually I had to give them up. And I remember how freeing it was when I finally did, and how it was so, you felt so clean and so unfettered, you know, you were just free. And I appreciated that. There are lots of decorations and ornaments and all that we use to decorate our bodies. There are all kinds of things that people have done throughout the ages of time. All of the tattoos and all of those kinds of things. God is not pleased. He's not pleased. He definitely taught us not to go after the pagan practices. And the pagan practices were to tattoo the bodies, to make cuttings in the bodies, and all of these things. And men and women have gone after these things to what? To decorate their body. That's what it's for. And for what? For somebody to see it. You know, people don't do things and then completely hide it. They don't put on makeup and then put a sack over their head, walk around. That isn't what they do. They don't have a tattoo usually that you can't see. They have it all, you know, their arms and legs and all. And actually, if they have a tattoo that you can't see, it's made for somebody to see. It may not be made for the walking down the street for somebody to see, but somebody's going to see it. That's why they put it there. The Lord wants us to be holy people, and He wants our bodies to be in His keeping. He wants our bodies to be before Him in holiness. He's very, very particular about what represents Him. He's very, very dissatisfied with those that have taken His body and decorated it and painted it and made it into something that He did not create. And then they go around and say that they are Christians. This is a representation of Jesus, that this is what Jesus would do. And we all know Jesus would have never done these things. We know that He wouldn't have gotten tattoos. He wouldn't have worn any kind of makeup. And even today, men are wearing a lot of makeup and different things. We know that that wouldn't have happened. We know that He wasn't into the fads and the fashions of the world. He wouldn't have done that. And yet we say, I represent Him. Do we really represent Him when we follow all of the sinful practices in the world? But we say, I'm a Christian. There's another scripture in the Bible where it says, in that day, seven women will take a hold of one man and say, let us, you know, eat our own food. Let us do our own thing. Let us whatever. Let us do everything ourselves. We just want to be called by Your name. People want to be called by Jesus's name, but you can't do just anything and everything and be called by Jesus's name. Jesus has a holy people, and He expects us to be holy before Him. We want to go to 1 Peter 3:3-5. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Listen, there is an adorning that God wants. The adorning is a meek and a quiet spirit. Now, there are many, many ways to adorn the body. And do they look like meekness? Do they look like holiness? Do they look like a quiet spirit? We have always taught that we are to be a holy people, and that we are to be a humble people, and that we are to be a plain people. We're not to be a fancy, adorned, out in the world people. Listen, when we were in sin, just like from the time that sin entered the world up until Isaiah, when he was telling them what all the things he was going to take off of them, we need to realize that all of the clothes and shoes and things of that nature, they're all made by sinful men and women. We need to realize that we're living in a world full of sinful things. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in the sin without even realizing it. I don't know about anybody else, but I have a hard time finding clothes. Because if I find something that has long sleeves, then the neck is too low. If I find something that has a high neck, then it's sleeveless. If I find something that has a high neck and long sleeves, then it's all adorned with sequins and jewels and all manner of fancy things all over it. Not meek and quiet, not unassuming, not to where I will project what Jesus was. He was a humble man. When he walked on this earth, he stayed humble. He was humbling. He stayed humble before his Father. And all of these things that are out in the world, all of these things in the world have been created by the world. And if we come in to the service of God and we don't feel like we need to change anything about the outward appearance, then we need to think again. Because we learned to dress out when we were in sin. We learned to do all of that. You know what it is. You know how you put something on and you say, oh, I really look good in this. Why do you look good? Oh, it makes me look thinner, or accents this part of the body, or it accents my best feature. Or for lack of a better word, it's cool. I don't know what the word is today. That's what we used to say. It's just cool to wear this. We have to let the Lord teach us how to be humble, quiet, meek people in our dress, our presentation to the world. It says, it's not the outward adorning. See, it's the heart. But what does it say? What does it say about the heart? We have a scripture coming up in our lesson here, talks about the heart and out of the abundance of the heart. So this adorning has to be of a meek and a quiet spirit. That means all of our clothes, the way we walk, the way we conduct ourselves. We have to be able to look our Savior in the face and say, I gave you my whole body. I gave you my body, my spirit. I gave you everything for you to do with as you please. I said, yes, Lord, no matter what. But you know, people have a hard time giving up their dress. And you see it everywhere. They're calling the name of Jesus, but they're wearing things that are out there in the world, really worldly things that they're doing. It's a shame for Christ's name to be attached to some of those things. In 1 Timothy 2:9-10, it says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. We are to adorn ourselves, but he says modest apparel. Modest. What is modest? Unassuming. Not flashy. Not meant to draw attention. We're not to go out in the world and have, you know what it's like. People get dressed up in their finest clothes to go out to the finest places. And why do they do that? Because they expect to be looked at. They want to be looked at. They want to be noticed. We want Christ to be on display. We want to be noticed that we are Christ-like. I heard a testimony on a tape the other day about a young girl that had been in a store and how some man walked up to her and told her, she was a young girl in her teens, and walked up to her and told her, he said, I appreciate the way you dress. Why? Because men are out there having to put blinders on, or they're having thoughts in their minds. They're sinful men. This is where they are at, and it's being displayed in front of them all over. And we can't be like that. And it's the same thing. Listen, anything that it says about the women, it's just the same thing for men. You know, there are certain things that men can wear, you know, certain thing. I mean, that's why they have certain kinds of shirts and things to show off muscles in the arms and to show off this and show off that. You know, men know, they know what to do to cause women to look at them. You know, what is it that women, you know, appreciate? in a man. It's his, basically it's his muscles. It's his strength. That's what they like. I told my boys when I was raising them, I told them that the reason they were to wear long sleeves was to cover up their arms, because women are attracted to the arms of a man. And it's very simple why. Because women want to be held, protected, loved. You see, that's all done with the arms. They're attracted to a man's chest and arms. And I'm speaking very plain this morning, and I'm hoping that nobody's going to be offended. But I have to, I can't be held accountable for not telling the truth. You know, it says I'll be held accountable if I don't say it. So there's a reason behind why the saints have taught for us to be covered and for us to have our limbs covered and all. There's a reason behind it. It's protection for us, and it's protection for other people, for other men, for because if he just looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery. We can't afford to have people doing that. And it's the same thing with the men. We can't afford, the men can't afford to walk down the street and women admire certain things about them because they're uncovered and they're not modest. It says, you know, not with broided hair, gold, pearls, costly array, but women professing godliness with good works. Men and women professing godliness. It means something to be able to stand before God and be able to not feel ashamed. And I believe that there's going to be many people that feel ashamed. It said that when Jesus comes back, he comes through the cloud, they're going to cry for the mountains and the hills to fall on them. There's many things in sin to be ashamed of. But when we come in to Christ and we give him everything and he takes over and he changes us, you know, he from the top of our head, from the way we wear our hair down to the shoes we wear. You know what I'm talking about. There are certain things that come into style, certain shoes that come into style, and everybody's got to have them. And, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy things either. I mean, just tennis shoes. It's gotten out of hand. Everybody's got to have these hundreds of worth of dollars tennis shoes, and they got to have a certain brand name on them, and everybody else is doing it, and so I've got to do it. Oh, no. We want to be branded, and we want to wear what brands us as Christians. Not that brands us that we idolize some sports figure or something to, in other words, that we would wear their clothes and their jerseys and their numbers and all these things. We want to wear Jesus. We want to wear our clothes in such a way that it portrays Jesus. It's important. We're ambassadors. And the very first thing that people see is outward. That's the first thing they see before they ever hear a word from you, before you have an opportunity to talk to them about Christ. They see you. God cares about how we look and how we portray ourselves. It's very, very important. In Deuteronomy 22:5, it says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Listen, it didn't say pants. Why? Because all nations weren't going to be the same. What designated a woman's garment and a man's garment in Jesus's day, they all wore robes. They all wore robes, but the women's robes look different than the men's robes. But in this day and age, it's very plain. Right here in America, we don't have to worry about what's happening in other countries. In India, for instance, the many times the women wear some kind of a pants with things wrapped around them and covering up the pants, and the men have on a skirt of some kind that they wrap around them, and they go out in the fields to work, and it's drawn up between their legs and tucked in so that they can work. God knew what women's and men's garments were going to be. And we needn't fool ourselves. I know there's people that say, well, these are not men's pants. These are women's pants. No, the proper garment here in America is dresses and pants. And you only have to go to a restroom to know that. It doesn't have to say men or women, does it? Just has a picture. If you didn't know anything, if you came from a foreign country, if you came from India, and you walked in there, you saw how what America is like, you would know that the dress was supposed to be the woman's bathroom and the pants were supposed to be the man's bathroom. And we see what kind of a problem we have gotten into, don't we, in this country? You see it, don't you? Women putting on men's garments and getting to a place to where they want to have authority over men, and they don't want to respect men in their place anymore or anything like that. We see what has happened, the feminizing of men, and how now they're just wanting to put on women's garments. Do you think God knew all these things? Do you think God knew where this was going to go? Do you think he knew that if, when you cross certain lines, that the enemy has spirits that he sends out to sit on everyone's shoulder and cause them to go further and further and further? Do you think that? I think that. A lot of the wearing of pants and things came into our country when the war took place, and the men were off to war and the women had to go into the factories to work. And it was very hard for them to work in dresses in the factories, maybe even dangerous. And they began to put on men's garb. And when the men came home, they weren't so willing to give it up. They felt like what? They felt like they'd been doing a man's job. And they didn't want to give up the garment that showed that they were doing a man's job, that they were just as important as the men, and that they had rights too, and they had all these things. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. We call it cross-dressing nowadays. And there's all manner of other kinds of things that you can call all kinds of things. And it didn't stop with the garment, did it? It didn't stop with the garment. Now they're actually changing their bodies. You think God knew that? Do you think that God knows that if we give in to one small thing, that the devil will push us to go one step further and one step further and one step further? Do you think God knows that? I mean, I've lived for the Lord for quite a while now. I know that. I know you let down one thing, and before you know it, everything's creeping in. I was thinking about how many, I didn't have godly parents that taught me how to dress, but many of the saints have had godly parents that when they were growing up, they taught them to dress a certain way. They taught them to be covered. They taught them all these things. And yet when they grew up, the first thing they did was toss out all those things. I remember when some of my children left home, you know, the first thing, next thing I saw them, I had never seen them in certain kinds of clothes, but the next time I saw them, they had them on. It's sad because they're just rebelling. Why? They're rebelling against parents' rules. No, they're rebelling against God and the standards that God set down for his people to be modest and covered and not to be an enticement to the opposite sex in any way, and to be humble and not showy and all those things. That's what he taught. That's what he taught us to be. I remember one time Sister Beverly said that we were talking about dress and different things, and she said, every army has a uniform. We're the army of God. We're fighting in the army of the Lord. There's a uniform. There's a uniform. A uniform that you can walk anywhere down any street and people will go, they're different. They don't belong to us. They're not like us. They're different. We don't want to fit in too good, too easily. We don't want to do that. So there's been lots of things through the years that when I first came among the saints, and I'm just going to try to be plain. We always wore long sleeves. The women always wore stockings on their legs. The women always wore long sleeves. The men didn't run around in shorts or anything like that. They always had on long pants. We always covered our bodies. We did that in the beginning. But as rebellion is born in any place and in anything, and as the enemy comes in, I remember that for a while, the skirt length was short above the knees. And it was hard to find anything that was below the knees. And a lot of people were, you know, they made their own clothes and everything to get them below the knees and all these different kinds of things that the saint women were trying to do to keep themselves modest. And then I remember the styles got long down to the ankles. Well, that was great. We were happy. You know, we could go and get a skirt and wear it long and we could just be, you know, all covered up and we didn't have to worry about that anymore. It was a wonderful thing. But something happened when that happened. And that is that since our dresses were all the way to our ankles, since they were all the way to the ankles, we didn't see the need to keep wearing stockings. Didn't see the need of it. Our legs are all covered up. And they were. But then the styles changed. They went shorter again. And then put the stockings back on. You know, the first time that somebody was seen like that, it was a great shock. But now, it's not so shocking anymore. Out in the world, there was standards of modesty back through the ages of time. You know, there were standards of modesty, keep covered and you couldn't show your ankles, and they wore gloves so they wouldn't even touch somebody else, you know, somebody else's flesh with their hands. They wore gloves. That was modesty, all these kinds of things. But then they weren't consistent because they were in the world and they were sinners. They weren't consistent because then when they got all dressed up in their fanciest attire, all of a sudden they had low necklines and things. Still had those gloves on, still had the ankles covered, but they were uncovering something else. The devil is out to get us to uncover and to be naked. That's what he's after. Because if he can do that, then we become part of his army. We're in his uniform. We're promoting his cause. We're not promoting Christ anymore. We're promoting his cause. We can't afford to be in the uniform that is out there in the world. I was thinking that you may have heard Sister Busby's testimony. She said a few years ago, she was sitting in service in Monarch. And the Lord spoke to her. The brothers, you know, getting up to sing or getting in the pulpit or leading services or whatever. He said, "What do you see?" And she said, what, you know? And he said, "What do you see?" And she says, "Well, I see a man with long pants and long sleeves and his head is sticking out. His hands are sticking out." He said, "Yeah, the head and the hands are sticking out." And then God told her sitting there, he said, "The men, the saint men are going to rise up and be a witness against the saint women because they actually keep themselves better covered than the women do." Now, that was just what the Lord told her as she was sitting there in Monarch? Is it hard to do these things? Yes, it is. It's hard to be different in the world, but it's also hard to live for God. If we're going to live for God, we're going to suffer persecution and problems and trials and all these things. Why do we feel like that we have all the say about what we have on the outside of our body? We don't. We have preferences, and we're not talking about that. Somebody may like plain colors, and somebody may like stripes, and somebody may like plaids, and we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about modesty in covering the body is the main thing. Nakedness, the fashions and of our day are made for nakedness. I mean, haven't you noticed that over the years? You know, the jeans are getting lower. They're not around the waist anymore. The tops are getting shorter. Why? To show the nakedness. Even men are wearing things like that, torn off things, working out and things. They tear off their t-shirts, so they just have a little bit of a something there, and then their shorts or whatever. It's nakedness. The devil is pushing against God's plan because this world has gone over to lust. It is lust in everything. If you haven't noticed, just take a look around. It's lust in everything. Every advertisement, all of the clothing, all of the products on the market, all different kinds of things. It's given over to lust. The things they want to teach in the schools, all of these things. It's given over. All of the scandals and all that we've heard about over the last few years involving pornography and child pornography and all these things. It's given over to lust. God knew that. He knew that's what would happen. That's why he clothed Adam and Eve before any other people were here, because he knew that is where it's going. It's going to lust. And this is the age we live in. And we cannot afford to say, well, I don't see why I have to do this, and I don't see why it's anything like that, and cause somebody else. God is going to hold us accountable if somebody else looks on us. If we draw their attention and they look on us, it is going to be held. We're going to be held accountable for it. We have to cover our bodies, cover our nakedness. Nakedness is in sin because we're in sin, because we live in a sinful world. Not because we are in sin anymore, but because we live in a sinful world. Nakedness is what the devil is after. He's breaking down every modest thing. He's breaking down every, he's broken down courtship to where people don't court right anymore. You know, they do all manner of things before they're married. He's broken down marriage to where they just live together now for years and years and have children. He's broken down everything that God put in order to bless us and help us to avoid. He has broken down all of those barriers. We can't afford to let the enemy talk us into breaking down these modesty barriers. We have to have this modesty. We have to be covered. We have to stay covered. We have to stay plain and so to speak, downplay our best attributes. That's what God wants us to do, to downplay it to where it's not so noticeable. Lord, help us. I'm trying to be plain this morning. This is not a place that I... This is not a hobby horse for me that I preach about this all the time or anything. Very few times, probably, since I've been ministering, have I. But I want to make it plain today. We're coming to the end times here. It's getting worse. It's getting worse everywhere. Everywhere you look, it is getting worse. And if we don't have on the garments the way that God wants us to have, if we don't have the protections in place that we need, we're going to be drawn astray. We're going to be, and we see this happening. We see this happening with a lot of people, even people among us, to where they just aren't as careful with their dress as they used to be. They're just not as wholesome with their dress as they used to be. They're more willing to shorten their sleeves a little. And listen, if you shorten your sleeves a little, you think that's going to be it? You think that's going to be all there is to it? No, the devil is going to keep pushing you to shorten them more and more and more. And that's why we have long sleeves, three-quarter sleeves, half sleeves, quarter sleeves, and sleeveless. Why? Because it's just a trick of the enemy to just push us to nakedness. The same thing with our dress lengths and everything. I remember Brother Ostis Wilson. He was asked one time, what is the proper length for a dress? And he thought about it for a while and he said, well, he says, it seems to me that three quarters ought to be covered. In other words, three quarters of your leg ought to be covered. I remember when I was first saved and I asked, well, where should it be? In other words, we're all different. We're all different heights. You know, we're all different. In other words, we can't just say, well, it should be so many inches or whatever. I remember when I was in school that our dresses, we had to wear dresses then. We couldn't wear pants. That all went by the wayside. But when I was in school, you had to. You couldn't wear pants. It wasn't decent. And, but they started getting short dresses, you know, short. You know, and so they made rules that we had to abide by at school. And one of the things was if we knelt on the floor, our dresses had to touch the floor. If they didn't touch the floor, you got sent home and to change into something else. It's not unreasonable for God to require us to have a standard and a uniform and a covering of our bodies. Because these bodies are not for display. They are not for the world to look at and lust after and all of those things. That is not what these were. These bodies were made to glorify God. It says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's what they were made for. The devil is the one that said, oh no. You need to decorate this body up and you need to have, it's got to be better than it was. And God didn't do it right. And you've got to have more. No, we are a plain people and we are representing Christ. We are saying that this is how Christ would dress if he were here. This is what he would wear. This is what he would do. We're ready to say, well, this is what he would do. But sometimes we're not so ready to say this is how we would dress because he would dress because we don't want to give up the things that have become comfortable for us that we kind of like. But if we're real honest with the Lord, if we go into our closet and we ask the Lord about these things, we can discover where we're not being quite honest. In other words, why do I wear this? Why do I want to keep this? And I mean, get just real honest with yourself. Oh, well, because I feel like it really looks good on me, or I feel like this shows to my good to my favor, or you know what I'm talking about. We don't try to wear intentionally ugly things, and God doesn't want us to represent him wearing ugly things either. But the world wants us to bedeck ourselves, decorate ourselves, and show off every attribute that the world thinks is beauty. And God wants us to be plain and godly and spiritual and dress appropriately to where people know that where people know. In Matthew 12, 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. See, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Listen, when we first get saved, our heart isn't perfect yet. So there's a lot of things that we hang on to that we tell ourselves, oh, it doesn't really matter and it's not that important and I don't see why and I don't know why we should do this or do that or why the saints teach this or why they, you know, and we do a lot of that when we're first saved because our heart isn't truly gotten rid of all of its own ways yet. But out of a good heart, good things come. Out of the abundance of an evil heart, evil things come. So when we first get saved, we're kind of a little bit half and half because our heart hasn't been educated yet. So it doesn't know many, many things. And so we fight against some things because the truth of the matter is we don't like being told what to do. We don't like giving in. We don't like somebody else running our lives. I mean, we're out there in our lives and we've been running it and we've been having our way and doing it our way and we like it having it our way. And all of a sudden we're told that we don't have anything our way anymore. It's all about God and God is going to lead you in everything. And it's hard for us to give over the power to the Lord, but he wants us to glorify him in our spirit and in our body. And I know there was one person I talked with many, many years ago, and we were talking about modesty, and they had seen a difference in the way that I was dressing, and they were claiming to be saved too, and they hadn't changed any of the way they were dressing. So we were talking about it, and I was trying to reason with them and show them scripture and different things, but they finally said to me, well, you know, I want people, you know, when I walk down the street, she said to me, she says, I want people to know that I'm a child of God by the sparkle in my eye. Now, that's just silly. You know, the sparkle in your eye, that's what's going to show God. No, it's what we look like from clear across the way. I remember one time, Lord help me. I remember one time when I wasn't saved. And I was all dressed up a certain way and everything was, you know, I felt like I was looking good. You know how you do, you know how you feel. And I had gone into town and I was across the street from where my stepfather worked. And my stepfather was across the street. Anyway, I was over there conducting some kind of business or something. And later I went in to see him. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, I saw you out there, he said. And he started having bad thoughts and everything about me because he didn't know I was his daughter. He thought he was looking at a strange woman. And then he realized it was his daughter. And then he was all ashamed that he had been looking at her like that. Well, who caused that? I did. We can't do these things. We can't do these things to each other. We have to protect one another. We have to do that. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of life, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Listen, dear ones, we have to be holy in our dress. Holy in our dress. We have to be willing to not... how can I put this? To not look our best. And you know what I mean. I mean, everything accentuated just right to where, you know, oh, this is really, you know, showing this and that's showing that. And oh, I look really good in this. And you know what I mean. We have to be willing to put that aside. It's not about decorating the outside of the body. It's about clothing it in holiness. holiness unto the Lord. Holiness, allowing God to direct us and help us. And when we go shopping for clothes and all, to make sure what we're doing and how we're doing it. It says to gird up the loins of your minds and be sober. Quit letting your mind just run here and there and thinking all manner of things. And not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. Listen, we all dress certain ways when we were out there in sin. And we know why we did it. And don't pretend like we don't. We know why we did it. We did it for all the wrong reasons. So now that we're children of God, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to change our dress. I know it's hard. And I know sometimes it's not exactly what we want. But God requires us to represent Him right. It has to be right. It has to have His approval on it. It has to have His stamp of approval on it. He has to be able to say, they walk before the people in this world, the sinful people in this world. They walk, they act, they dress, they think, they project me. Me. Not them. Not their appearance. Not what they want. Not what they want to accent. But me. Me. First Samuel 16:7. This is when Samuel was going out and he was looking for the next king. He was getting ready to anoint David. So he had gone to the house and he was looking over all the sons. And he started out with the oldest son. And he thought, surely this is the one, because he was handsome and stature and all these things, you know. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Don't look at how he looks or on the height of his stature, that kind of thing. I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It's so true. God knows everyone's heart. But this is the excuse that the world uses to be able to wear whatever they want. They will tell you, well, the Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God sees my heart. He knows really where my heart is. But that's the point. The world looks at the outside. So the outside has to portray Christ. That's why it's so important, because men are looking on at the outside. It has to portray Christ. That's the whole point. Yes, God knows people's hearts. And yes, He knows our hearts. And He knows that when we're battling with these kinds of changes and things, and He knows in our heart what we want to do, and that we're struggling and trying to maybe give up things or do things differently or wear different things. He understands all of that. Yeah, He looks at the heart, but man doesn't. Man looks at the outside. And do you know what men think? You can talk God all day long, but if you're wearing clothes that entice the other opposite sex, they're looking at you and saying, I don't know about their Christianity. Why would they dress like that if they're Christians? I've had people stop me in the store, and you probably have too. Stop me in the store and say, you look like a woman that prays. How would they know that? Because of the twinkle in my eye? Because I have a smile on my face? Because I look happy? No, there's lots of people that have those kind of things. Why? Because of how I'm dressed. It's only because of how I'm dressed is how come they know that you must be a woman that prays. Even the Lord, even the sinners in the world know what we're supposed to look like if we're naming Christ. Even they know, because they recognize it when they see it. So the whole point is, man looks on the outside. If we're going to represent Christ, we have to represent him on the outside of our bodies. We have to be modest. We have to be have shamefacedness. We have to be clean and neat. We have to be all these things. We can't be extravagant. We can't have all these things. I mean, you might live in Alaska and you might wear fur, because fur, some of the furs are really warm. But when you wear fur just to show off, there's a difference, isn't there? Some things are very practical and some things are for show. And do you know what? All of us have a good understanding and we know the difference. We may not want to admit it, but we know the difference. We know what it is. We are to be modest. Our bodies are to be covered so that our bodies don't speak to people, but Christ speaks to people. We don't want our bodies to represent us. We want Christ. So we have to dress so that Christ is represented and not us. Otherwise, it's just our bodies. They're just striking up a conversation with because how we look, because they're attracted to this or they're attracted to that. It has nothing to do with Christ. We have to dress in such a way that Christ is glorified. He's glorified. And people see that now there's a real Christian. They're willing to change. They're willing to change the things about them and the things about the world. They're not part of the world anymore. They realize there's something different about them. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our whole spirit, in other words, how we act and what we do, all the things that have been changed and corrected in us, he wants our spirit to be blameless to the coming of Christ. And then he says the soul. In other words, we need to be saved and filled with the Spirit, and all things have become new. We are a new creature in Christ. Our soul is saved and preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. And then it says our body. Does that mean that we have to be careful and not fall down and scar it up? Does that mean that we have to be careful that we don't break a leg or we don't do this and we don't mar it in some kind of way, like the sacrifices that they used to bring where they couldn't have any mars on them or anything if they were going to be sacrificed? No, it means that we have so lived before God that even our bodies, our outward bodies, can be preserved blameless. We will be blameless because we will not have caused people to sin, have wrong ideas about God, have wrong ideas about his standards and what he requires out of people. Our bodies preserve blameless. He's concerned about our bodies. He's concerned about our outward bodies. We have to give our whole body over to him. And that means modest apparel. We all need to pray and ask the Lord. Listen, through the years, more and more things, I've found little things here and little things there that I have given up. And I've also found little things that tried to creep back in on me. That, oh, it's just a little thing. It's not that big of a deal. It's just a little thing. But you have to be consistent. The devil will try every tiny little tiny trick. He will do anything to kind of just kind of creep back in on you and spoil your testimony to the world, spoil what God wants you to represent him to in the world. That it's not about fads and fashions. It's not about the things of the world. The things of the world are enemies to God. All of these inventions, everything, they're enemies to God because they can be used for such evil. No, we are to present to God what he wants us to have. We are to present to God our bodies to where that We don't say how we dress. We don't say how we walk. We don't say how we do anything. We literally give it all over to God. We meet him in our closet in prayer. And I don't mean your clothes closet. I mean, just meet him in your closet of prayer. And you say, Lord, what do I need to change about how I'm dressing and what I'm doing? Because I want to represent you right. Because we need our bodies preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.